Amp Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavassi International. Lavassi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavassi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavassi International, lavassi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.UK. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Take off, eh?
Amp Radio.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
coming at you. Welcome to an edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the Amp Studios in Danville, California, and the Amp Studios International in Canada. This is This Week in MMA, the night that was UFC Fight Night 120, Poirier versus Pettis. Of course, held last night in Norfolk, Virginia. The total attendance there stated as 8,442 with a gate, a little over 642,000. Following fighters were awarded, of course, bonuses of 50K. Fight of the night going to Dustin Poirier versus Anthony Pettis. Performance of the night awards going to the immortal Matt Brown and Rafael Edson Siao. One can argue that perhaps a discretionary award could have been given to Tatiana Suarez.
Take off, eh?
Let's take it from the top, Proteus. Hit it!
Morning, DJ Tony, the DJ and the PJs. How are you?
I am the DJ and the PJs. Follow Proteus at Proados. Follow me at I'm DJ Tony. Otherwise, you're going to get some...
Chingato.
Exactly, Proteus. How about that, right?
Chingato. Love it.
Proteus, let's get into it. You know, everyone kept talking about how good this card was, and you and I kind of ruin our shows every single time because we start doing the show before we even start doing the show, so it's going to be repetitive to you and I. But let's get into this, Proteus, because I was a little underwhelmed by the card. I thought this was a fun card on paper. Certainly turned out to be entertaining, but I was a little overwhelmed. Maybe I hyped myself up a little too much. Maybe a little bit of backlash, right, of UFC 217. What say you, Pro?
Yeah, I think, Tony, as you mentioned, nothing much on the preliminaries, you know, stuck out to me. You know, the fights were okay. Maybe the main event on the prelims could have gone the other way. I don't know. I saw it kind of the way it went. But yeah, on the main card, Tony, I got the curtain jerker there, and then I fell asleep. Insert Rachel from Friends.
You
going,
fell asleep?
For the next three fights. Right, so I had to go back and watch them again this morning. But yeah, kind of some dull fights there with the Marquardt Fiata fight and the Albini Arlovski fight. Although Arlovski did look good.
I'll tell you what I saw, and tell me if you agree with this. What I saw was the fights themselves. I mean, looking back while you're talking about it, about falling asleep, etc. I think it was the commentary. John Anik is one of the best that I've seen, period. I mean, he's an utmost professional. John Anik brings it every single time. I just don't think that the energy was matched by Paul Felder. And therefore, I think the card was just kind of monotone and just, I know you usually listen with the volume down, right? But this was
right.
One of those things where it just wasn't good.
Yeah, I think you're right. Felder just doesn't seem to be ready yet. DJ Tony to be in the booth with someone at, like you said, with the energy of Anik. And I did actually listen to the card a little bit once I knew that Felder was on the commentary. So yeah, I tend to agree with you because he is just very monotone, very matter of fact. I mean, he knows what's going on. It's just, he's just watching a fight kind of
in like he's in his living room. You know what I mean? It's no, there's no energy. There was no hype except when certain things happened, like certain exciting things happened. Then we got a little life out of him.
See, I think Proteus, that he actually was just that, right? In the beginning of the card, he was literally just that. Like, he's just one of the guys watching the fights at home, doing the whole, and all this stuff. And I think someone in his ear said, hey, you got to calm down a bit. And I think he just calmed down a little too much. Either that or he just ran out of energy and needed a five-hour energy drink, which, by the way, we'd love to have as a sponsor. So shout out to Five Hour. But I think he actually – I like Paul Felder. I think Paul Felder is a professional in what he does. I just don't think that he brings enough energy. Certainly, I don't think he's UFC quality. So as a commentator, not as a, as a fighter, clearly. As a fighter.
Well, I noticed the same thing you did, Tony, because if you were paying attention, in the early part of the evening, they were letting Felder do the in cage interviews, and then that abruptly stopped and Anik took the reins back over again. So I don't, maybe like you just said, maybe something did happen and the guys in the booth, they gave him the axe, you know?
Good call. Actually, I noticed that too, but I literally forgot. And so good call on that one. Let's get into it, Proteus. We always work on the from the top down. Let's go into Bellator 187 quickly. I'll just give you the results. We don't need to really chat about that. But Bellator 187, we will chat about one thing at the top, though. So let's get into this. Bellator 187, McKee versus Moore. I think we saw what we saw, or thought we were going to see, especially if you look at the records. AJ McKee defeating Brian Moore, Sinead Kavanaugh defeating a lovely Maria Casanova. Paul Redmond, of course, defeats Sergio De Jesus Santos. Baby Slice, Kevin Ferguson Jr. defeats Fred Freeman. No surprise on any one of those. Maybe the Charlie Ward defeating John Redmond. But let's get into that, Proteus, because someone made an unscheduled visit in the ring.
Yeah, and what a weird incident that was. Yeah, what a weird incident, Tony. I mean, if you see the videos, because a number of videos started to leak out, and of course we're talking about Conor McGregor leaping into the cage and then doing all kinds of crazy things. I mentioned on Twitter when this came out, I think it was Jonathan Snowden, I replied to him that I think somebody needs to go to rehab, Tony. I think somebody needs to go to rehab, I'm going to be honest. Alluded to it the last time we saw some craziness from Conor McGregor. You can't go into there to the cage. First of all, not supposed to be leaping into the cage. Second of all, you're definitely not supposed to be touching anybody if you go in there, because of course Conor McGregor was not a corner person, so he's not allowed to be in there around the cage. And then of course you definitely don't slap a person from the governing body, and you don't push a referee. We've seen fighters in the UFC get fired for touching the referee or pushing the referee. Not a good look, Tony. Not a good look at all.
The problem is, Prados, everyone that's been fired, and we're talking about really just two fighters in particular, right? Paul Daly and, I forgot who the other fighter is that was just, that was terminated recently.
Waterbong, wasn't it? What's his name? Waterbong. Yeah, I can't remember his full name. Sorry. Go ahead.
Gosh, poor guy, right? The problem is those aren't major draws, right? And now the UFC has made this monster. You and I were talking about this. The UFC has made this monster. Everyone has brought it up. I'm a Conor McGregor fan. Everyone knows that. But the UFC has made this monster, and now they're either afraid to take any action against the monster or do anything. So my question to you is, what do you think happens? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't think anything's going to happen. Maybe a fine.
Something has to happen. I mean, but whether the UFC does it, I know the commission will probably take some kind of, if there is a commission over there, I don't even know if they had, if Bellator was their own commission tonight or what was happening with the commission over there on Friday. Well, I guess it was Friday afternoon, right? Our time. Something has to be done, though, Tony. You have to do something, because if you don't, I don't know. You set an example. You know, you really, really are showing that this guy can just do whatever he wants. And like you said, they're kind of in a catch 22. He kind of has them by the balls, shall we say, that they need him. And he knows they need him because he's the biggest star. He's the biggest draw. You know, maybe GSP can prove that he's all he's cracked up to be. But as of right now, Conor McGregor is the biggest star. And yeah, he's got him by the, like I said, the danglies.
Well, here's a statement that actually the MTDAR released. They said that they've been in touch with upper management for the UFC. Problem is the SEP and Bellator. The problem, of course, it is in overseas, and they, of course, have contacted the UFC and they've contacted the Boxing Association. But again, different country, different rules. Yeah. There were two assaults, right? And clearly there was some heat between Goddard and McGregor to begin with, because he was tossed last time for being disruptive. He did it again. I just don't think they're going to do anything, Proteus. Maybe a fine. Maybe the UFC pays a fine itself. I just think the UFC, I think, like you said, McGregor has a UFC by the Kuyans, and I just don't see them doing anything, Proteus.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, you said it's in another league overseas. I think that something, even if it's marginal, has to be done by the UFC to show other commissions, you know, that they're serious about these things. And like I said, such a weird situation leading up to it. If you watch, you know, him skipping around the cage and getting the crowd pumped up, and then immediately, soon as he knows he's far enough away from the gigantic group of people who were following him, I don't know if they were bodyguards or if they were commission people, but jumps right up on there and takes right off over into the cage. And that's, you can't have that, Tony.
No, you can't have that. And but again, it's interesting. They created this monster. I told you this off air, but I'll mention this, which would never happen. But my thing is, listen, McGregor's in a contract. There's no way that he would ever be able to sue and get out of the contract. So I say if the UFC really wants to, let's just say Endeavor, right? If they really want to make a statement, because as far as I know, he's not under their management anyway. If they really want to make a statement, strip him of the belt, and he can't get out of his contract. Those UFC contracts are ironclad. We've seen that. We've seen that movie a lot of times, right? Where people claim they're free, they're really not. He's not going to get out of the contract. Strip him of the belt, and then make an example of him and bring him back down to earth a little. The problem is, I don't think they are, and I think that's an issue. So, well, what say you? I mean, do you think there's any chance that they would strip him?
I think that would be a serious show of power, especially if you look at near the end of what the incident. I mean, this it was happening over a knocked out and concussed fighter who was just coming to. You know, what if Conor McGregor had tried to punch or kick Mr. Goddard and, you know, got the injured fighter, the wounded fighter, instead of Goddard? I mean, things that could have gone super wrong. So, yeah, Tony, he's not defending that belt anyway, so freaking strip him. We've talked about this to nauseam, that we've never seen him, Conor McGregor, defend either of his belts, the 145 or the 155. He's really starting to make a mockery of this sport. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably a punishment along the lines that I think is warranted for this particular event.
Yeah, and I think we've seen that the belts don't really mean much, and you know, Nate Diaz was right. I mean, we're getting off on a tangent. We can stay on this subject for a while, so we'll move on.
Yeah,
I think you're absolutely right, Proteus. I think he's made a mockery of the divisions, because there's two that have been placed on hold, sort of, and we really now don't really have a clear path, right? I mean, we really don't know who the true champion is, so that's a little bit of an issue. Let's move on to the card that we had. Proteus, UFC Fight Night Poirier versus Pettis. We work our way up and work our way we'll work our way up and down. Let's start with Dustin Poirier versus exactly. Right. I think we all thought we were going to see some serious.
She's got to him.
Yeah, but I don't, I don't think we did. I think we saw a fighter that's lacking confidence. So Dustin Poirier defeats Anthony Pettis via submission. Body triangle is what's listed on Wikipedia. Personally, I think he just tapped out due to some sort of either rib or stomach injury. Dustin Poirier claims that he was just tapping out because he's a broken man. I've told you this. We've seen him in tough fights before, split decision fights with Alvarez. We saw him losing to a really strong, maybe non-on-it supplement RDA, really getting just completely annihilated for five rounds, didn't tap out. I don't think that he tapped out as a broken man. I do think he's a broken man, but I don't think he tapped out to that. What say you, Proteus?
Well, I mean, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations to Dustin Poirier for, you know, imposing his game upon Anthony Pettis. From the get-go, Dustin was, you know, trying to force him against the cage, take him down, and work his game from the top. And give it to Anthony. He didn't give up. You know, he didn't just lie there and take the shots. I mean, there was some excellent scrambling going on while they were on the ground. Anthony Pettis, you know, ending up reversing at some point, getting a, and also getting a triangle on Poirier. Of course, Poirier able to spin on out of that one and get out. But it really was all Dustin Poirier. And you can see by the control numbers, if you take a look at the UFC.ca, as I'm looking at, I mean, the control was definitely very lopsided towards Dustin. Beautiful performance. I mean, cut Anthony up. I mean, he's no longer going to be able to be called pretty Tony Pettis by the boys on the CME, because he got uglied up last night, man. It was tough to watch, but as you said, the finishing sequence, that body triangle was tight. And I mean, Anthony was trying to, you know, get to the right position, flip over, and just his body gave out. It's what it looked like to me. I mean, it looked like he was injured. He got an injury. Yeah, Dustin Poirier is obviously doing his mic skills, you know, saying that he's a broken man. And there might be something to that, Tony. As we mentioned, a lot of fighters dropped off when USADA started showing up at their doors randomly. So maybe that's the precipitous as well. Yeah, a lot. And maybe, you know, maybe we're seeing the fruits of that labor here. I don't know. I just thought, I was very impressed with Dustin. He looked freaking huge. His back was just rippling as he was throwing elbows. I mean, talk about looking good, getting off the bus. Way to go, Dustin Poirier. Good win for him. And yeah, I mean, I definitely want to see him get his shot at even Eddie Alvarez. I would love to see that happen again, because as we know, there was no resolution to that fight. Dustin was absolutely fouled, and yeah, I'd like to see them get some redemption there.
And kudos to him on that. By the way, I think Dustin Poirier himself has quit in a couple fights, to be honest. I mean, literally, to be honest, I think he's quit in a couple fights. But kudos to him for the win. It was deserved. Kudos to him to call out the right people, right? and instead of calling out for a belt where he's not deserving of a title, in my opinion. Not yet, right? So kudos to him. And yeah, you're right, using the correct mic skills to put a twist on things. But he did beat Anthony Pettis, and there's no doubt about it. He was winning that entire fight. So, you know, say what you will about another controversial end for a Poirier fight. But, I mean, he won that fight. Dustin Poirier won that fight. Let's move down to the co-main event. We go, Proteus. Welterweight, Matt Brown defeats Diego Sanchez rather quickly. And I think we all thought there's no way this fight's going three rounds. But I thought it would end within the first two rounds. You guys were quite clear on the same path that it would end quickly. I think Pam was the only one that says selfishly she wanted it to go three. You guys all said there's no way this is going. I mean, it's not going. And you saw what I think may have been a detriment to Matt Brown, and I'll tell you why, Proteus. I wanted Matt Brown to go out with victorious. There's no doubt about it. Diego Sanchez is a strange person, an odd person, but by all accounts, a decent person. But I wanted Matt Brown to go out and hang up his hat, hang up his gloves, and go out victorious. Unfortunately, Proteus, what we saw is a very quick KO, and Marco called this on Smack My Picks up that he had already backtracked a little on the Luke Thomas show, but boy, did he really backtrack. And I hope he retires. I don't think he is, Proteus.
Yeah. Just quickly, I want to go back and mention that in the previous fight, I did take TKO in the third. And in this fight, I did say first round KO. I did say fairly quickly. It backed off a little bit on that, but I knew this is what going to happen like this, Tony, as you said. I don't know if it's wrong or if it's bad for Matt Brown to have this kind of serious success in this fight. I mean, it was freaking amazing. I mean, the amount of violence that Matt Brown unleashed on Diego Sanchez was second to none. I've never seen somebody get hit so hard with an elbow. Matt Brown cocked that sucker back and threw it with all kinds of violence. Wow. Now, having said that, there is no better time to retire if you're going to retire, right, Tony? I mean, if Matt Brown would have sailed off into the sunset after that, that being his last fight, that being the last thing we remember about him, I mean, Matt Brown's a great fighter and improved his game a lot over the years, and that would have been the icing on the cake. If he chooses to come back, Tony, I don't know. Maybe, like he said, he's got to take some time off like that GSP, like GSP did, as Marco pointed out on Wednesday on Smack My Picks Up. I'm a Matt Brown fan, and I think that we need guys like him in the sport. I don't know if Matt Brown is, you know, where his head is at, because I'm not Matt Brown. And if he needs to step away, I want to obviously see him step away. But yeah, we have seen, Tony, as you mentioned, this kind of thing happening for people or fighters that are thinking about retirement, and we see them two or three more times, and it doesn't go well for them. So, cautionary tale, but what a freaking awesome finish.
I think you're right, Proteus. I think, you know, listen, that's my new saying that I've been using quite a bit recently, but we've seen that movie before, right? When they don't end the way it's supposed to end, or the storybook ending, right? When it doesn't end like that, it probably doesn't end pretty well. And the welterweight division is still very much, I mean, I'm not sure. I used to say this all the time, that the welterweight division was number one, lightweight division was number two. You can flip-flop those any way you want to look at it, but I don't think that there's a lot of room for Matt Brown to grow. Listen, if he's going to take fights that are outside the top 10, maybe he can still have, you know, two or three more fights in him. I say he walks away with his head intact. Keep in mind, this is someone that's also had concussion issues, and that's to the point where he was, I believe he said on Junkie, that, or it might have been the MMA Fortnite, as you call it, that he's been, I think, 2 weeks he spent in his bedroom with the lights off, because I would love for him to hang him up, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, you know, kudos to Matt Brown. Great elbow. You're right. Great finish. Yeah. I hope he hangs him up. Let's move up to the big boys and to the diaper wearing Junior Albini, fighting, of course, Arlovski, the pit bull. And you know what? Arlovski looked really good, Proteus. Say what you will about like Pettis and other fighters changing cams without any results. Arlovski looked really good. I still think he should hang him up, because I think he's taking a lot of damage. But he looked really good against Albini, but this was a snoozer of a fight, in my opinion, Proteus.
Oh, it definitely was not interesting. I mean, it was nice to see Arlovski moving his head. As you said, the change in camp clearly has done something for Arlovski, because he was definitely getting his chin off of the access where Albini would have wanted it to be, to get that knockout. One thing I noticed about Albini in this fight was, again, he was just, the one thing he wanted to do was headhunt. He didn't want to work the body. He was rarely throwing those leg kicks that John Anik was calling for. Or maybe it wasn't Anik. But anyways, they were calling for those leg kicks. And yeah, Arlovski looked improved. It was not a good performance by Albini in the light in the least. And his shorts were very distracting. I could not, I know I get the nickname moniker, you know, but that didn't do it for me at all, man. It just really turned me off, to be honest.
Yeah, well, certainly a man in shorts isn't going to turn me on, but right. I mean, it was just, gosh, the whole thing was really distracting. Listen, I understand was he doing it to play off the moniker? I'm not sure, but boy, I'll tell you, that was, I don't know. You know what? I'm not even going to get into that because that was just atrocious. But okay. Kudos to Andrei Arlovsky for getting the win. I think we all wanted to go Marco's route and choose Arlovsky out of our heart. Our brains were saying Albini's going to really put a hurting on Arlovsky. Either way, it was a snoozer of a fight. Kudos to Arlovsky for getting the win. I was rooting for both of them, to be frank, because the Albini story of him not being able to have money to buy his daughter toys, et cetera. So hopefully they both got paid, but boy, that was a snoozer of a fight. Let's move down to another snoozer of a fight. So the middleweight we went, Cesar Ferreira, defeating, of course, Nate, the almost great Marquardt, via split decision. In this fight, honestly, at least Arlovsky and Albini had some action. This one was a snoozer, Proteus. And of course, Cesar then calling out three different fighters at the end. The most famous, of course, Boachinha. But what say you, Proteus?
I think if there were if there was another round in this fight, we would have seen something completely different happen, because Nate Marquardt, in the third round, there was something started to happen. You know what I mean? He tagged Ferreira, and Ferreira decided he did not want anything to do with that, and immediately shot to take Marquardt down. And Marquardt, of course, worked his way back up from the bottom. Just too little too late, Tony. Like you said, not much happened. And I mean, the crowd was really giving it to them in the first and the second round before Ferreira took it to the ground. Yeah, and that's what she said. If we would have seen, I think, Tony, if we would have seen one more round, we see Marquardt come out with an impressive win. That cut that he managed to make on the forehead of Ferreira was pretty significant. So that cut would have definitely come into play in the rest of the fight. But yeah, they did stay away from each other a lot. I think they both respected the power that each one had, and of course, they mentioned on the broadcast they had trained once or twice together, so maybe they knew what each other had and didn't want to feel it. But yeah, not exactly a great middle part of this card, let's say, the main card.
Let's get this. Oh, by the way, I want to give a shout out to GSP. I actually I backed a Kickstarter he has a watch coming out, an Edgar watch, a timepiece. That, of course, is called The Rush. So if you haven't seen that, it's pretty good. I'll probably send a link on Twitter so you guys can follow that. So shout out to GSP and that luxury timepiece, sort of, because it's affordable. Nice. So sort of. You're right about the crowd, and I do want to say something about this crowd, and tell me if you agree. I think the crowd was sort of really getting, I think the crowd expected a little bit more of what they were hoping, and I thought the crowd was making a lot of noise just to keep themselves, and you're going to think I'm joking, but just to keep themselves awake, because I honestly thought, did you feel that at all, where they were like going in waves just to sort of keep some kind of action going?
Yeah, it was definitely a strange crowd. Of course, we got a lot of those Ric Flair woos that came out. I guess it's kind of hard, mate. If you sat there and watched at least the preliminary card, four pretty uneventful, long fights, with the exception of, I guess, Northcutt, because he ended up finishing the fight, did he not? No, decision. Yeah. So four.
No, decision. Sorry.
Yeah, four decisions in a row. Then, of course, you get two really, you know, we'll get to these fights after this, but two really good fights to start off, like really fast knockouts to start off the main card. So, and then you get two really not so eventful. You know, the crowd's definitely going to go, you know, a little crazy. They've been drinking a lot. This is, I believe, the first time they had been to Norfolk. I think that people were expecting a bit more. But when you go to watch fights, you never know what you're going to get. You might see Frank Mir break somebody, or you might get some force really long decisions in a row. You know what I mean? So
Either way, I thought it was. I think we all wanted the same thing, Proteus, and that I think we all wanted to see a really, really good card with some really good names that were on paper. And I don't think we saw that. Yeah. But you're right about the crowd getting just after Fahea and Marquardt. Let's go into a fight that was pretty decent, Proteus. Actually, I really enjoyed this fight. Rafael Sincel, and you know what? I butcher Rafael Sincel many times because I've seen him lose to upper talent, but I don't know if it was Felder or it was someone that was mentioning it. Those fights have been pretty close. I mean, even his fights with Dillashaw. I mean, clearly they've been pretty close. And boy, did he just butcher Matthew Lopez's front leg. What say you, bro?
Yeah, impressive. I mean, the knockout was obviously incredible. And, you know, this is one of my spotlight fights of the night because I'm not down on a Sincel because, like you said, he's only really lost to the champ, right? And his last, you can keep going down. The last loss besides Dillashaw was Eric Koch, you know, back in 2011. So he's not a joke, as we say a lot on this particular show. I was excited for it, and I was excited for to see him show out against, you know, Matthew Lopez. There's no disrespect to him, but I thought was a lower end fighter that Sincel could take care of. And yeah, I mean, like you just said, he imposes will, take that lead leg up, which opened up the possibility for the KO.
So let me ask you this, just knowing Rafael Sincel's background, record, et cetera, I mean, he's fought for the belt. I don't think his career is in that area any longer. What's next for Sincel?
Well, I think you just got to keep pushing him up forward, you know, give the guy a chance to fail. I mean, if he ends up being just a gatekeeper in that particular division, I think we could do a lot worse than have Sincel be that guy. So, you know, you never know. He has the talent. He really does. It's not as if he's lacking in that particular talent. Just when he gets to the top, he struggles. And we have heard that a lot about a lot of fighters in the past. It's just everybody can't be champion, or else everybody would be.
So let me backtrack just a little on this one, and then we'll fly through the rest of the card. But what do you think? We spoke about what's next for Poirier, and we spoke about what we think is next for Brown. Didn't really get into Arlovski or Albini, but I think they can sort themselves out. What's next for Anthony Pettis? I'm curious to see what you see.
Well, let me be honest. I don't know, again, what you do with Pettis. If the injury is as bad as I think it might be, he's going to be out for a while. I just don't want to see the precipitous drop off of Anthony Pettis, because as you said, we all were entertained by Pettis. You know, he was the Showtime. We got that Showtime kick, as Marco mentioned on Wednesday show, Smack My Picks Up edition. You know, the owner of the Showtime knee as well. So used to be a really talented, showy fighter, but as we were talking about off air, I don't think that's something you can do anymore in the 155-pound division. The guys are just so much better now. The wrestling games are on point. No one's really going to give Anthony Pettis the time and the room to get his showy kicks off, or you know, finishing moves anymore. Well, that was a terrible sentence. But
we understand
again,
that.
Maybe. Yeah, okay, cool. Maybe Pettis just ends up becoming a gatekeeper as well in this division, or maybe he just disappears into the bottom of the division. I don't know. I think he still has that talent there. I would like to see him again, another guy. I know Duke Rufus is, you know, has a great camp, and I know Pettis has spent some time at Jackson's, but I really would like to see guys move around more. And maybe we'll get to it later, but the whole Team Alpha Male, you know, we've got Clay Guida going there, we've got Northcutt going there, and you're seeing the Team Alpha Male education system really coming out in these guys. So I'd like to see Tony Pettis find some place that's good for him. I know he thinks that really highly of Rufus, like as a father figure, but I'd like to see him get to another camp. And maybe, Tony, we can see a resurgence of Anthony Pettis. Maybe that's it. He's just getting too content where he is. He thinks he's doing all the right things, and he's not. And I just, like we saw last weekend with Johnny Hendricks, I think maybe I don't want it to be too little too late, you know, that then he moves to a camp that is much better suited for himself. And as you said, what's next? I don't know, man. Throw some young kid at him, you know, throw some young kid at him that's hot and talented and can give him a good fight. We'll see what happens.
You know, they're in different weight classes, but I'd love to see the Pantera versus Pettis. That would be a great fight. Obviously, two different weight classes. But, you know, the other thing is I do think it's a little too little too late. Listen, Duke Rufus is like a father to Anthony Pettis, and I don't see that them. I don't think he'll ever make that clean move and move to a different camp. I'd love to see him with AT&T. I'll be honest with you. I think he'd flourish in ATT, but
ATT.
We'll see. I said AT&T. Yeah, ATT. Yeah. All right. let's talk about this, because we're going to go here. We're going to skip sort of a fight and go two Team Alpha Male fights in a row. But Clay Guida defeats Joe Lozon brutally. I don't think anyone saw a first round KO. I think we all thought it would at least go three rounds and Clay Guida would work his magic, take out the hammer, you know, take out the saw and just go and do his comp return work. Joe Lozon, of course, not a joke. One hell of a fighter. Clay Guida defeats Joe Lozon via TKO. Sage defeats Michael Quinones, who I actually thought was a better fighter on paper. That's two straight losses for Michael Quinones in the UFC. Take one at a time, pro.
So let's start with Clay Guida. I did not see this coming from Clay Guida at all. We have seen this happen to Joe Lozon before, though. You know, it's not the first time we've seen Joe Lozon get knocked out pretty brutally. I thought that Lozon would be able to keep the distance, you know, keep the Energizer Bunny away from him, was not able to do that. And Clay Guida gets, you know, a pretty dominant first round finish, you know, obviously. But, I mean, he was pretty pretty much in control of the whole fight. It was all Clay Guida. Now, one thing I did notice was a little bit of acne on Guida's back. And that always throws up kind of alarm bells for me. I'm not throwing any shade at him, but that does kind of, you know, like I said, throw up some alarm bells for me. And the performance that he did end up having was phenomenal. But I'm not trying to throw accusations around, but we did hear Garbrandt previously before his fight with Dillashaw say that, you know, Dillashaw brought the drugs into Team Alpha Male. So anyways, moving along to the North
Cup. That. He didn't
well,
say
he
that.
Did actually
he said,
say
you're the one that showed us, right? He said,
how to use them.
Oh, we're going
right.
to get ourselves in trouble. Hang on. Let's just say it was one of those moments where I'm pretty sure he wishes he would have taken that statement back.
Obviously.
But that was one of those. Yeah. Well, let's move on to the Northcutt fight, bro.
Sure. Now, listen, I had mentioned to you off air and kind of alluded to it that we are seeing the Team Alpha Male in these new Team Alpha Male fighters. Clay Guida definitely saw the – but he didn't really need much help with that wrestling game, whereas Sage Northcutt definitely did need a lot of help with his wrestling game. I saw it coming through here in this fight against Quinones, but I wasn't overly impressed with his performance. Drop the GSP clip, sound clip right here. And I think if Sage Northcutt is the guy that we think he is, if he's going to be able to live up to getting paid what he is getting paid per fight, which I said when he signed was ridiculous, that he should be taking someone of the caliber of Quinones out and not going to Michael. Sorry, I said Matthew. And not be going to decision with him. He looked like he should have been able to finish him, you know, in the fight, but Quinones held in there, didn't go away, did look a little bit green, but Sage did not impress me with the decision win. I definitely did not.
I agree with you, Pro. And hang on, let's drop this now before we forget.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
I agree with you, Pro. The problem is I think that he's starting to learn how to fight. And I think that's affecting him. Listen, he's still only 21 years old. Right?
Sure.
And I think he's got a lot of room for growth. I don't know what his ceiling is. I do agree with you that I wish that he would have just pumped it up, but I think he's starting to learn how to fight. And when you're starting to learn how to fight and you don't really know how to fight, I think it becomes a different thing. We'll see what happens, but yeah, I certainly agree with you there.
Of course he has a lot of pressure on him, Tony, but that's just because of, you know, what the UFC has done with him. They wanted him to be this, you know, spectacular star, and they lumped a lot of pressure on this kid. And like you said, yeah, he's just starting to learn how to fight and round out his game. And I said, he did look improved in that wrestling game. You could see that Team Alpha Male influence in his wrestling game. I think that's a perfect place for him to be. You know, he can have a lot of confidence there. I think there's a lot of kindred spirits, so to speak, in that camp for Sage Northcutt to learn from. Yeah. And, you know, they kind of all think the same way. So good for him, good win. But like I said, maybe he did want to get some cage time, like you were saying, DJ Tony. Maybe that's something that he wanted. He wanted to show out and show the fact that he could go three rounds and show some of those improvements that I had mentioned. But again, maybe I'm just putting too much pressure on him. I did think that he could have finish this fight at any time that he wanted to, if he wanted to.
I don't disagree with you. I think a lot of people may agree with you, but I do think that sometimes if you get too careless, you get caught. So that could have been a thing as well. And keep in mind, of late, his body of work hasn't been really impressive. But then again, I do still think he's a kid. I still think he's growing. I think he and Mickey Gall still have a whole lot of career left in them. Let's touch base on this one before we move into, you know, one of the fighters I never like to watch, honestly, Proteus, is John Dodson. I don't know why his style of fighting just drives me insane. I don't know. Sometimes he runs from people. Sometimes he wants to dig in. He's certainly a little guy with a lot of pop. But gosh, just his fights just literally bore me to death. And Marlon Moraes yet with another lackluster sort of fights. And was he the one that called out three different people? I can't recall. Someone called out three different people. I was listening to it in Portuguese. I'm like, wait a second. He just called out three different people. But so what say you, Marlon Moraes, John Dodson?
Yeah, I think you mentioned that earlier on when you were talking about Fajeda. I don't listen to a lot of the broadcast, so I probably missed that. But yeah, I think you meant Fajeda. And I don't know. I didn't listen to the commentary on this particular fight. But I agree with you. I think that if John Dodson wants to win fights, he's got to win fights. You know what I mean? Like he was looking impressive. You know, he was looking like he was having a lot of success, but nothing really happened. You know what I mean? Like he didn't really continue to do anything, and he's win, loss, win, loss, win, loss in the last, you know, four fights after having fought DJ. Again, split decision here. I could see people being angry that John Dodson lost this particular fight. As you said, Moraes didn't actually show anything, you know, like when he was in the PFL knocking fools out and having his way over there, you know, we were talking about it and, you know, whether or not we saw him being a big star in the UFC. And we all mentioned, you know, the change in caliber of fighter. And we're kind of seeing that with Moraes over the past couple of fights, because he hasn't looked impressive. He definitely has not looked impressive in the UFC. I mean, it's only two fights now, I guess, but just hasn't looked like the same guy.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Thank you, GSP. Appreciate it. I wasn't either. So, yeah, I mean, this fight was really up for grabs, Tony. It could have gone either way, depending on what you saw. I think John Dodson just let this one get away from him, because I think he could have won it if he wanted to. And same thing with Moraes, too. Just not really what you want going into a main event on any card, this particular kind of fight.
Totally agree with you, Pro. Totally agree with you. Let's get into this one. I thought this was one hell of a fight, Pro, and that's Tatiana Suarez versus Viviane Paheia. And honestly, I think Paheia is a much better grappler than people give her credit for. But boy, I'll tell you, I was really impressed by Tatiana's performance before she got injured, and then she got injured, and then I didn't know. I honestly didn't think she would be very impressive coming back. She looked fantastic, Pro, and talk about looking good out, getting out of the bus. But she actually really looked like she was back on top with what she showed in at Tough. What say you?
I absolutely agree that she has recovered well from the injury. The rehab, definitely she did it the right way. But of course, we would expect that for someone with her credentials. I mean, the wrestling game is strong with this one. And I think, honestly, Tony, that she was fed this fighter on purpose. You know what I mean? She needed
You're
to
right.
look good, and she did. And as you mentioned, Paheia is a good ground. She has a good ground game because she didn't get finished. She was in the fight. She was fighting back. Unfortunate. We did have a wardrobe malfunction on this one. Reebok, you really got to up your game because these girls, they shouldn't have to go through that at all. But yes, I thought Paheia looked like a person who had some skill, but Tatiana was just crushing with that wrestling game and great performance. Yeah, absolutely deserving of a beautiful win here.
And let's fly through these, Proteus. Nina Ansaroff defeats Angela Hill. I kind of thought it would go the way it did, just the reverse. But Nina Ansaroff looked like a bantamweight compared to Angela Hill. I mean, literally the body structure, the thickness. So I thought, on paper, I thought, oh, good matchup. Once I saw the difference, after Nina Ansaroff hydrated, boy, it's not even close. Anything on that?
Yeah, no, I thought Ansaroff looked good, and I think she looked good because of exactly what you just said. She was the bigger fighter. Angela Hill just has an impressive body. I mean, she's definitely in shape. She's definitely a fantastic fighter, but this woman should probably, Ansaroff definitely should be a 125er. But I mean, if she's going to have success at 115 like this, and I thought Ansaroff looked improved from her last fight. I really do. She was really being able to show out a bit against a very tired Angela Hill. I thought near the end of the fight, Angela trying to keep up that large pace, that heavy pace. And then of course, you know, having to deal with the heavier fighter weighing off of her every now and then. Yeah, just like you said, like she was wrestling her little sister in this one. It just, unfortunately, Ansaroff's bigger and stronger. So, but Hill, I thought, put up a good fight. I really do. I thought she didn't go down, and you could definitely tell that it was definitely a hard fight for Angela Hill. And I want to see Angela again. I don't think she needed to be sent down to Invicta in the first place, but they did do that and she improved down there. But yeah, great. This was actually for going all three rounds of being a decision, I think was more intriguing to me than all the other three, even though Suarez did look really good, but she was really good in a wrestling smothering kind of way. And I thought that these girls tried to stay up and they tried to exchange, I guess it's Taekwondo that Ansaroff is her base is. So you could kind of see that coming out a bit against Angela Hill. I liked it.
Yeah, this looked more like a Muay Thai fight, or at least American kickboxing fight than your typical UFC type of fight, right? Because obviously Muay Thai and American kickboxing is MMA, but let's look at her, and I agree with you. I'm an Angela Hill fan, as you know. But let's look at her last three fights since she's come back. Keep in mind, she was very green when she was in the UFC, had two straight losses to Tisha Torres and Rose Namajunas, a green Rose Namajunas, and Tisha Torres' game has certainly evolved as well. And then, of course, she got cut, went to Invicta, had four straight victories at Invicta, a fighting clearly lesser competition, comes back. She's 1-2 in the UFC on her comeback. Overall, she's 1-4 in the UFC. Sorry, 2-4 in the UFC. Aside from her Rose Namajunas loss, which was a submission, all of them have been decisions, and she's taken a lot of punishment, Proteus. A lot of punishment. I don't know if she belongs in the UFC. I'm just going to be honest with you, because this division has gotten a lot better from when it was created.
Well, I think, as I alluded to, Tony, if once the 125 division is out and some of these bigger girls, I don't know if Ansarov would go back up, because I don't know how tough the cut is for her to get to 115. But I think that it will kind of even out a bit, and we'll see maybe Angela have a little bit more success against girls or women who are of her own size. Yeah, I think that the 125 division is going to make have a huge difference in this division. It may drain it a bunch, Tony, to be honest with you. But I think the girls that are more well-suited for this division will stay there, like the Angela Hills. And I said to my wife last night, because before she went to bed, this was one of the fights that she was interested in watching. They're two completely different weight class. You know, Ansarov is just so much bigger. And I think that, as I said, 25 is going to even things out.
Yeah, good, damn good point. I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely right. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. Yeah. I think a lot of good strawweights will move up to the flyweight division, and I think a lot of good bantamweights will move down just to try to get an edge. It'll be interesting to see that. Let's fly through this literally, because I do want to talk about other news that we've seen. So I'm just going to mention these, and let's just fly through this. Sean Strickland defeats Court McGee. Overturned, so we should insert record scratch there, right? Because that was like, what? I thought it went the correct decision either way, but boy, that was one of those, that was one of those moments where you have to drop the Price is Right theme there. You know what? Let's drop it here so I don't have to put it later. And of course, Jake Collier defeats Marcel Fortuna. Boy, he hasn't been very fortunate as of late. And Carl Robertson defeats Darren Stewart. Yeah, how about that, right? Oh, you're right. And Carl Robertson defeats Darren Stewart via a rear naked choke submission in the first. Let's get into this, Proteus, because there's been a couple new things that dropped. Obviously, we saw that you guys were talking about Smack My Picks Up. The beautiful Pam broke the news, of course, that Dominic Cruz was out. Frankie Edgar is out. And, of course, Anderson Silva, I dropped that on the minute. He's been allegedly, right, USADA has him tied up for quite some time. Right. We saw Bisping come in, step in to the fight to fight Kelvin Gastelum. And then we've also seen a reboot. Jose Aldo, Holloway 2. I'm not sure I like both of those fights. Did anyone step up to fight Jimmy Rivera yet, Proteus?
I don't believe we have anybody for Rivera yet. No.
I think, you know what? I think didn't Marlon Moraes call him out? I think he did. What say you about Bisping? Let's go over Bisping, Gastelum, and let's go over, do we really want to see Holloway, Aldo so soon? Let's go into that, bro.
Sure. I'll start with the Bisping situation. Great move by Bisping. Absolutely, positively, great move by Bisping. He mentioned at the press post-fight press conference that he was not injured. He could take a fight if he needed to, and because he just got choked out. You know what I mean? He didn't. GSP took most of the damage in that particular fight, but ended up winning. And it's a fight that Bisping thinks that he can win. He's fighting Kelvin Gastelum, who of course has had to move up to 85s, has had to problems with this Anderson Silva fight now twice. The first time, of course, Kelvin Gastelum being popped for THC, which is stupid. And then of course now Anderson Silva popping for whatever particular thing it is that Anderson Silva has popped for this time. It's unfortunate, isn't it? Isn't it not unfortunate that Anderson Silva's name is getting so dragged through the mud in the later part of his career. Ah, man. Anyways, good on Bisping. That's what he needs. If he can bounce back, get a win against someone like Calvin Gastelum, who's going to give him a boxing fight, let's be honest, probably going to, you know, try to work his boxing against Bisping as GSP did. Now, Calvin Gastelum, going to be, you know, kind of around the same size as GSP, but we know that Calvin likes to eat, so maybe he might be a little less in shape, shall we say. But they needed to save that card. That China card is big for them. That's mainland China. Thank you, Tony. That China card is big for them.
I think you're right. I mean, it needed something because honestly, on paper, I was not looking forward to that card. So yeah. Maybe this does something. Maybe this is Bisping's last fight. And certainly, I think Kelvin Gastelum and Bisping, they throw what? Proteus.
Gastelum.
That's right. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, it's as Proteus always says on Smack My Picks Up.
What you got?
Exactly. All right. So let's get into this.
Jose Aldo.
Let's close out with this. Aldo versus Holloway. I'm a big, as you know, huge Aldo fan. Huge. I don't think he's ready for a title fight. I don't think he deserves it. I think we saw what we saw, and it was quite conclusive. Do you see it any other way, Pro?
No, I do not see it any other way. I do not agree with this particular fight. I would have rather they take it apart, you know, a fight or two, and, you know, maybe put Cub Swanson in there. I actually would have really liked to see Cub Swanson get his shot at the title against Holloway. I think that would be an interesting fight. I think he still loses it, but I really don't. I don't know why we're rewarding Aldo for nothing. You know what I mean? I'm really unfortunate that Frankie Edgar fell out, and we're hearing that it's not a really serious injury for Frankie, but which doesn't really make sense because they put Aldo in there. You know what I mean? If Frankie would have been ready,
you're going to be hearing,
you know, maybe a month later.
It's bang, bro.
I love it. I just think that we didn't need to see Aldo again. So why are we rewarding him for not having the performances that he needs to just because he's got a name? I don't know, man. I just don't agree with it.
You know what?
I
do
notice.
Agree with what you said, though, about Cub Swanson getting was he I think he called out Holloway once he found out that was he even available? Because I know he just had a little girl, right?
Correct,
yeah,
the mundo.
He actually has a fight scheduled. That's why I think they didn't want to pull him out of that particular fight. And put him in against Holloway. But I think, honestly, he would have been more deserving in my mind than just throwing Aldo in there. Of course, as I was just alluding to, it's short notice for Aldo. And we know Aldo likes to balloon up. He has a hard time making 45, let's be honest. I'm concerned that he won't make weight. I really am. I'm concerned that he won't make weight because he's only got, a month? To train for the fight, and that concerns me. So, I just would have rather they went another way with it.
I'm going to give you this, and I don't think you want to hear this, but I just don't think that Aldo makes it to the card.
December, yeah. Wow.
I don't think it happens. I think he's been often injured. I think he's going to push his training. Yeah, and I just don't think I honestly don't think he's going to make it, Pro. Honestly, I think this fight's going to fall out. Watch, watch. Mark my words. I don't think this
right.
This fight. I don't think Holloway defends his belt against anyone.
That would be terrible for Detroit.
That's how I see.
Swanson is scheduled to fight Ortega the next week in Fresno, California. So it would have really kind of lined up perfectly. Sorry.
Wait a second. You know what? I take that drop back because I'll probably be there. So I'll take that back.
Alternative facts.
Yeah, I actually don't want to see that fight because I want to see Swanson in Fresno. So, all right, yeah. Let's get out of here, Proteus. We do have a guest that you booked next Sunday. Let's yes, talk sir. About it.
Yeah, yeah. We have I can never pronounce his name right. So can you help me with his last name?
Wambacher.
Yeah, Bobby Wambacher. Yeah, it's a really weird last name, and unfortunately, I have not actually physically talked to Bobby. But he's a referee. He's getting his shot back again in the octagon. He's very excited to get the chance to jump back into the octagon. Of course, that's going to be in Saturday, December 2nd in Detroit, Michigan, the card that we were just talking about, Tony. So it's going to be very relevant for that particular car because there is some talking points. Also, Tony, I think that we want to talk to him about what happened with Conor McGregor. We did try to get him on today, yep. But of course, we want to say congratulations to Bobby. He's getting married, or he got married yesterday and will be on his honeymoon until Thursday. So we could not book him today. So we will have him next week, Tony, after the Sydney card, which is Verdum versus Tibero. He'll be on at the beginning of the show, and then we'll get into the recap of that particular card. I'm excited to talk to him because we've always wanted a referee where that we could bounce some stuff off of. And Aaron from Texas isn't always available, as most junkies are not, unfortunately. So we're going to have Bobby on. We've got lots to talk to him about. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, it'll be pretty exciting. And we also have a tie-in. I think he's repped Tatiana Suarez before. He certainly has repped Matthew Lopez before. So in Axis Fights, I think that was LFA. If I'm not mistaken, could be wrong, but I know that I've seen him before. When you brought up his name, I Googled him, searched him up, and he actually does look very familiar. So shout out to him. Shout out to, I saw an interview that Dave Madden did, so shout out to Dave Madden.
Sure.
I will give one additional shout out. How about this, Proteus? And I don't know if you're watching Combate Americas, but clearly, if you got to see that, I know you're not a big Juliana Pena fan, but Juliana Pena and Gilbert Melendez, I got to stop calling him.
Yeah.
Gibbler. They did one hell of a job, Proteus. Misha Tate had a cameo there as well. So they did one hell of a job. So shout out to Juliana Pena, and Gilbert Melendez, who did one hell of a job on Combate America.
And you know that that the management team there is solid because you know they're the originators of the UFC, so they know what they're doing. You know, they're not no dummies over there in Combates America, bringing over the Spanish speaking commentary group, and of course Misha Tate. Sorry, Misha, we didn't have time for you today. We'll fit you in again when we can. I apologize.
Yeah, we always apologize to Misha Tate. Right? We ran out of time. Exactly. And you know what? And we apologize to Megan Anderson because I think we had slotted.
Fuck your bitch ass belt too.
Oh, I guess so. All right. Let's get out of here, Proteus. On Wednesday, we will have Smack My Picks Up. Will we do a Sunday show? We will. Why?
Bobby
Wambacher.
That's right.
How about that? All right, Proteus. I'm way behind on Stranger Things. Don't give us anything there.
You got lots of
I think
to.
On I think I'm on episode 3 or 4. So I could be wrong there. By the way, do you have a Twitter follow of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to shout out our boys at Redshift Rebels again. We will have a read for them at some point in time. They're very, very busy over there in England. They, of course, are the two gentlemen that run the Hardcore Lifting podcast. So if you want to go ahead and check their podcast out too, we appreciate that. But also, go by RedshiftRebels.com. Buy yourself a shirt. It was just recently T-shirt day. So go over there and show them a little love and tell them that Amp Radio sent you.
And how about the fact, Proteus, that they also had Miley Cyrus, right?
Miley Cyrus. Yeah, man. Miley Cyrus.
Yeah,
I
think she was modeling her shirt. Right?
Yeah. Those were been worked on by Redshift Rebels himself. Yeah, pretty cool, man. Pretty cool for them. And like I said, they're really super busy. Because if you got Miley Cyrus sporting your gear, you're probably pretty popular.
I also want to give a shout out to one of my buddies, Alex Aquino, who actually owns Black Scale. So shout out to Black Scale app, Black Scale, good performance apparel there, or rather casual apparel. So maybe we work something out with them as well. By the way, shout out to Jessica I at Jessica Evil Eye. Man, she looks like a chick you certainly want to hang out with. Final shout out, Pro, what you got?
Well, I just want to give a shout out to all the listeners. We see you. We see the numbers increasing. We appreciate it. Rate and review if you want. If you don't want to, just know that we got you and we love you.
Yeah, thank you, by the way, for the numbers. You guys have been really supporting us, and we really appreciate that. If you have a chance, listen to Smack My Picks Up. You, Proteus, Pam, and Marco were absolutely hilarious. I had a three-hour commute from the airport to the mean streets of Danville, California, and that was absolutely hilarious. So if you get a chance, listen to that.
I appreciate it.
Hilarious.
All right, guys, we're out of here. We'll... in town.
That's right. We got to get out of here, guys. We'll see you on Wednesday and on Sunday. I'll try to drop some MMA minutes along the way, if possible. Proteus, let's get out of here.
Those are doing good.
Apologize to Misha Tate and Megan Anderson. We ran out of time.
Chinkazo! Forgot.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.